Running shoes online can feel like a guessing game, but Marathon Sports makes it easy to get the right gear without stepping into a store. At MarathonSports.com, you'll find the same trusted brands runners and walkers rely on, including Brooks, Hoka, New Balance, Asics, Saucony, and more. Whether you're training for a race, walking for fitness, or just need everyday comfort, Marathon Sports has the shoes, apparel, and accessories to keep you moving. Their online shop is built for athletes and everyday movers. Easy browsing, detailed product guidance, and fast shipping help you find exactly what you need without the hassle. Because the right gear doesn't just improve your run, it improves how you feel every day. Shop now at MarathonSports.com and get moving.
You train, you track, you eat right. But if you're over 40, you've felt it. The results don't match the effort anymore. That's not willpower, it's biology. Hormones drop, metabolism slows, your body stops responding the way it used to. Maximus is the online clinic that reverses your decline with prescription performance medicines, GLP-1s, testosterone, and peptides that reduce belly fat, restore energy, and boost recovery. Over 50,000 high performers have already broken through their plateaus. If you're ready to turn your hard work into measurable results, go to MaximusTribe.com. That's MaximusTribe.com.
Welcome back to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. On today's episode, we are going to be talking about all things reality, perception versus things that are concocted for a storyline. Today's guest is David Yontef from Behind the Velvet Rope, who was a reality star in 2011 on Millionaire Matchmaker, and then he famously came out and outed the show as being fake. So we are going to talk to him about his foray into reality television of his own, but how he then went on to produce his own very famous podcast, Behind the Velvet Rope, which is literally like one of the best podcasts out there for reality TV. So thank you so much for joining me on my podcast.
Thank you for having me. Yes. I mean, what an introduction. Misunderstood. I'm misunderstood. You're misunderstood. We're all misunderstood, girl.
Yeah. So I want to talk to you from the very beginning. Start with where are you from and how you got into this in general.
I mean, look, I've had such a varied, like I tell people, I have truly reinvented myself professionally, like I think three or four times. Like I went to law school after college. I practiced corporate law. I mean, do I look like a corporate lawyer to you?
No.
Well, it was not the most interesting profession. You know, it's like I tell people, when you go to grad school, most people that spend money on grad school, like they love it. They're studying neuroscience or psychology, getting a PhD. Like I didn't love law school. So right then I should have been like, I don't know if this is like the right profession for me. I have to say I use law in my current job as the host of Behind the Velvet Rope when I interview people. But so I did that. Then I fell into HR and recruiting. Then I had my own staffing agency. So I've really like reinvented myself many times. This is said with no ego. I'm kind of like a Bethany Frankel when it comes to business.
Right.
Now, I don't have the rumored $120 million that she sold her company for. But, you know, like I'm really like when I go into a profession, I figure it out. And I'm just like, how do you do this? Like clear out of my way. Let me figure this out. And then I figure it out. Now, I can't do that with like operating on someone's brain. Like I'm not. But with most professions, I think if you go into it and you're like, how do you do this? I'll figure it out. So after I sold my company, which was a staffing agency, I was kind of like in between gigs. I wasn't really doing anything. Listen, I grew up loving pop culture, really, like 90210, Melrose Place. Like I've always been into pop culture and I've always been into reality TV from the beginning. The Simple Life, Laguna Beach, The Hills, the classics, Rachel, come on. So I was in between gigs and I was friendly with a lot of these Real Housewives. Mm-hmm. And they would always say to me, like, you should do something with this. Like, you're not doing anything with your life. Like, this is a business. And when I started my podcast, it really was like Wendy Williams style. That was my vision. I started one day a week. Now we're 7 days a week. Mm-hmm. But it really was Wendy Williams style of like, you and I, Rachel, you could tell, could have a drink at night, but I'm going to talk about it the next morning.
Right.
And say, you know, Rachel, you could tell, you know all about her. Well, this is what happened last night. She showed up. She was 5 minutes late. She had three drinks. She fell off the bar stool. None of that happened the other night when you and I went out.
Right. But let's be clear, that did not happen.
Let's be clear, that did not happen. But if it did, I might talk about it.
Right.
So it really was like, oh, and I really, this is how I refer to it. It's kind of like a child of a celebrity. Like, your life is different. Like, I've had people from Mob Wives on my show. I love talking to them about, like, when you grew up, like, were you aware that what your father was doing was probably not everyone's father's profession? It's the same thing. So it was more like I had access to all these like reality TV people and I was out with them. And it wasn't so interesting to me. It was just my life. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, I bet you these stories of who's leaving with someone, who went home with this guy and that. I'm like, this might be interesting to the public because these are stories like behind the velvet rope. Like, let me tell you what actually. So that's like Wendy Williams. She would go out with a celebrity and be like, let me tell you what happened last night when I was out with Blac Chyna. Right? So right. That's kind of how my podcast started. It morphed into something totally different. It morphed into these interviews that, because I was like, no one really cares about me. They want me to interview all these famous people. And now it's kind of come back to like 5 days a week. There's some interviews and now the stories have kind of seeped back in because actually that's what people do want to hear.
How did you come up with the name? It's such a good name.
Is it? Because it's funny. There were two names. There was between Behind the Velvet Rope and Name Dropping.
Oh.
It's another good one,
that
right?
That is a good one.
So it really was like, you know, Behind the Velvet Rope. Like, let me take you behind the velvet rope. Like, this is what happened last night. I was at the bar with, you know, Ramona Singer. Uh-huh. And this is – so it's more like, let me peel back the curtain and tell you what actually is happening with these people when they're not on TV.
Right.
So that's kind of where the name came from. Mm-hmm. And now it kind of works that it's all these different celebrity and reality TV interviews. Like, let me – I really like to get into, like – it's kind of like what we were talking about before off air. Like, I don't judge anyone based on anything you see on TV. It's more like, I want one-on-one. I want to know who you are.
Right.
You know, and of course you cover the highlights of someone's career, but I really want to know what makes you tick.
Well, you know that behind the velvet rope, there's so many different things that go into reality versus what's really, you know, perception and reality. There's two totally different things. So it's so great to have your podcast where you get to know the people that people think that they know because they don't. So you get to hear from those stars and hear about their lives or hear about who they really are, because your podcast is specifically talking to reality stars. And what people don't know is that these reality stars, sometimes their storylines are completely concocted and they're not even true. But you got a firsthand knowledge of that by being on Millionaire Matchmaker. Talk about that. First of all, how did you get picked for that? Were you just plucked from obscurity and put into that?
I mean, it's totally – listen, I kind of knew someone who was doing the casting. Mm-hmm. And I really didn't want to do it. Like, I wasn't looking to actually date someone at that point in my life. Like, dating was just not – so I was like, okay, well, I'll – you know, they're like, we're going to put you on video to submit you. I'm mm-hmm. like, great, come to my house. And they did all that. It was literally like 9 months later. So I literally did that, completely forgot about it. Was like, it wasn't even on my – I didn't even want to do the casting tape. Like, I was like, okay, and this and that, and what type of lifestyle do you lead? And, you know, and then a month go by, and I get this call. I'm literally leaving the country to go to Africa because I was a traveler before COVID. I got to get my travel bug back on. And they were like, you know, hey, and this and that. And I'm like, wait, I'm going to get this? And they're like, oh, no, like, we've loved you since the first – you know, TV, hurry up and wait. And I was like, well, okay, I can't film anything next week. I'm literally not canceling a trip to Africa mm-hmm. unless you want to cover all these expenses. And, you know, they were like, no, thank you. I'm like, so thank you for calling me 9 months later. Like, we'll do this like in 2 weeks when I get back. And then like when I got back, I was like, oh, God. Like, you know, the thought process of being on the show was kind of fun. But I was like, oh, fuck, I actually have, it's like a dating show. Like, I actually have to, like, meet people and go on a date. I was like, that's what I didn't want to do. I'm like, I'll hang out with Patty Stanger, sure. I'll have a drink on TV. But, like, oh, shit, this is, like, a real dating show. I don't want to go on a date.
But you had seen the show.
Oh, yeah. Like, I knew what the show was. Mm-hmm. So I understood, and they're like, well, you're getting chosen. And listen, I am really one who doesn't say no to things, like, in life, right? Like, it's like a – it's an experience. Let's mm-hmm. go on it. So I was like, okay, I'll do this. So like, I was excited to do it, but I wasn't excited to actually, like, all of it was fun until you're like, oh, I actually need, like, the mixer was fun. You met, like, there was like 25 cute guys there. And I mean, well, they weren't all cute, but you know, and then it was like, when you actually had to pick someone and go on a date, I was like, oh, I don't want to do this.
And did,
like,
you find anyone you had chemistry with?
No.
So how did you pick?
I mean, listen, it's like, well, you were on the show too.
I know.
Well, did you have a mixer?
Yeah, no. So I was – Patty and I knew each other from the past. So I was on the celebrity version.
Right.
I'm saying that with air quotes for people that are listening. So I was on the celebrity version, and Steve LaBelle was the other person on the show, the other celebrity, and he owns WeWork. So, and we were the two, you know, millionaires or whatever being matched up with partners. So because we were quote unquote celebrities, Patty was picking for us. And it was a really fun episode because we were behind a two-way mirror and we got to see the men, or I got to see the men coming through, and then Patty would interview them in with her, you know, assistants or whatever, in groups of four, and the guys would come through. She would ask them a bunch of questions. I would be listening in an earpiece and watching on the screen, and they would film my reaction, her reaction, all the stuff that was going on, and then they would move them through groups, and it was 25 guys.
And did you get to say, Patty?
Yeah, and I would be like, Patty, like, move on, move on. This, don't even ask this guy's name. This is ridiculous. I mean, what I found from the show, I mean, I agree with you, just to, like, let's start there. It was fake. It was fully, it was casted by a bunch of actors, I think. And what was upsetting to me, though.
I mean, mine were real people.
People, but they were there to get famous or to be on the show. I mean, I went on the show, though, to find love. I really did. I was a real loser about it. I was like, oh, good, I'm going to find a husband. I'm going to find a boyfriend. But when I went there, I was like, wait a minute. I spent 2 hours on the phone with the casting guy talking to him about what I wanted in a guy, what I was attracted to, and they took none of my notes because these guys were all people I was not attracted to, would never date, and it was a bunch of bozos, you know what I mean? So one of the guys was this huge bodybuilder, and he took one of Patty's assistants and started bench pressing her or whatever over his head. And
that wasn't for you.
It was not for me. And this other poor soul, you know, was like talking about how he had overcome cancer, a plane crash, had a leg amputated, and now he made socks for a living. And it cuts to me, and I'm like, Patty, move on. Like, I feel bad for this guy, but I cannot date him. Like, what are we talking about
here?
You
can't have a sob story on the first
date.
Yeah,
I can't. This is too much.
That's like a 10th date type of story.
And yeah, so anyways, it got to the point where I had to pick a guy, and I'm like, I'm not picking any of these guys. And so my name, she, you know how she names everybody? Did you get a name?
Yeah.
Mine was, I was a shredder because I shredded everybody that I was trying to be set up with. By the way, that's accurate. I am a shredder. So she did get that right. But this wasn't fair because
she got mine right too. I was judgy. I was like judgy, and she put me in a fat suit.
What?
She wanted to teach me a lesson that I shouldn't judge people based on their looks. So she put me in like a fat suit. Like, they literally, an SNL makeup person was hired to come in and make my face under, like,
this
pop
sounds
marks.
Like a fun episode.
It sounds fun, but like,
wait, was this for the and
it
cocktails?
Was, it was, no, this was just like, we're going to teach you a lesson. So they made my face like pockmarks and like, you know, like put like scabs on my face and put me in a fat suit. And then Patty said, we're going to walk outside now. This was the New York season four. And she walked me down. She's like, we're going to go walk down the street right now. And everybody was looking at me. And she's like, all these people are staring at you. I'm like, they're staring at me because I'm with Patty Stanger from The Millionaire Matchmaker. This was actually a popular show at the time. This is like in the middle of Times Square. They recognize you because you're famous.
And because there's cameramen filming you.
Right. So then she was like, they were staring at you. And like one guy. Now, mind you, I also think this part was probably staged. People were like shaking their heads and looking at me. Where they found these people, I don't know. But
well, probably because they thought you were trying to find a date.
Well, all I know is then it was supposed to teach me a lesson of like, don't judge people based on their looks, which I understand that as an adult, that there's more to someone than their looks. But apparently I was judgy. So you were the shredder and I was the judgy person. That was my
gosh.
But she – no. And so, I mean, how I pick the person to go on a date with is like, you know, you're at this mixer. You're meeting like 25 people in a matter of 3 minutes. Mm. You're obviously just going to choose two people that you're somewhat attracted to as opposed to the ones you're not attracted to.
Yeah.
So I chose two people for the mini date that I was more attracted to than not. And then one – when I went on those, I was like, one person was an actor. And I was like, this guy wants his fucking camera time. So, I mean, I'm not choosing him. And the one I chose to actually go on the date with wasn't – he really was an innocent person. Mm. I actually called him like 2 years ago to say –
to ask him out on a date?
No, to say you should come on my podcast. Like, oh. I've had Patty on a million times. This would be interesting to say, like, as a dater. I mean, he also hated me because he thought I was obnoxious
and judgy.
But, like, we've all grown. He has a child now. He's a single father. He wanted a kid, even though, you know, so, like, I thought maybe, and he was like, I don't know if I want to do this. I was like, okay, well, I mean, we're not begging you to come on Behind the Velvet Rope. We have, like, a lot of celebrities here, and I just thought it would be a great show. And if you really are that torn apart about this, you don't have to come on the podcast.
Right.
So here we are having another falling out 10 years later. But I wish you the best of luck, Christos.
Yeah. Okay. Well, my guy, I think his name was Brandon, was so sweet. His issue, he was a trainer or something. And, you know, I have us telling this story because I want people to understand about reality TV. You know, I was working on my reputation at the time because so many people hated me, I guess. And it was a dating show. So they really edited me to be nice. Patty was very nice to me. And I really did not like this guy. I mean, I was like, I'm not going to date this guy. And they were like, listen, we're trying to edit you in a nice way. Just date him and be nice. Give him a chance. So I was like, fine, I'll give him a chance. He was so nice. But
you didn't even want to date him on the show.
I didn't even want to date him on the show. I'm like, this is not my type. And they were like, stop being a shredder. Just give him a chance. So they sent us to a baseball place where you like hit balls. I can talk to a frog. I could not find anything to talk to this guy about. I mean, really. So they kept saying cut, and they would take me to the side to do like those one-on-one things. And I would get so frustrated because I'd be like, you guys, I cannot say anything. I can't find anything to talk to this guy about. And they would be like, just lie, just act, be an actress. I'm like, but I'm not an actress. I'm here to find love, and I can't even find anything to say about him. So then fast forward to our dinner. We're at some fancy restaurant, and they have us eating, and we literally have nothing to talk about. And the producers call me over, and they're like, we need a kiss. I said, you want me to kiss this guy? I can't even get anything out of my mouth just to even converse with him about. And they're like, okay, you're going to walk out of the restaurant where we have a bunch of cameras set up, and you're going to kiss. It's sunset. And you're going to kiss right at the front of the door. I'm like, in front of all these people? I mean, it was a working restaurant, a huge restaurant with a lot of people in it.
And they're like, just do it?
And they're like, just do it. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to do this once.
Was he cute?
He was very cute. I'm like, wow. I'm going to give you one take, but if you don't get it, I'm not doing this again. So the guy who was – he's very sweet. I feel bad because maybe I am a shredder.
He's cute, though?
Yeah, he's very handsome. So listen to this story. It's kind of great. So we're walking out, and he's trying to talk to me about God knows what, because of course I'm not listening. And we get out to the front, and there's all these people there, and there's all these cameramen, right? And he's talking to me, and I just grab him, and I start to kiss him. And the sunset is there, and the people are there, and everybody's watching. And he's in the middle of a sentence, and I grab him, and we just start kissing. And he's just like, wow, because he didn't know I was going to kiss him. And he was really into me. And you feel it, like the music swells. And by the way, when they edited this, the music was swelling and, you know, you can see it happening. Anyways, the way they edited this was that it was like so emotional and we were so into each other. And they make it look like we're so having the best time ever. Meanwhile, I got right into a car and I went straight to the airport.
And did he ever follow up?
Yes. To this day, he still Facebook messages me. He's just the nicest guy.
Does he live in L.A.?
Yes.
Is he still cute?
Yes.
Single?
He's still a trainer. No, I don't know. I mean, I don't ever look him up or anything. But every once in a while, I'll get a little WhatsApp or message being like, hey, Rachel, he's still this smiley, upbeat guy, you know.
Mine was
But by the way, I wasn't even single by the time they were shooting it. I went there looking for love, but I had just started dating Brett Boone, you know, the Major League Baseball player who was retired at the time.
I'm a gay man. I don't know anything of this sort.
Okay. So, and he was not happy that I was going on the show. So I was fine that I had no connection with anybody. But from the moment that they say they're going, you're going to be on the show to when they film it, it's like 8 months or something. So
exactly.
I was single when I wanted to be on the show. But then when they actually book you, or when they have you go on the show, it's like forever. So, you know, I didn't really want to find love. But I did. Do you know what I mean? Anyway, so those things are staged, I will say.
It was – yeah. No, I mean like the mixer is like they make it seem – you're like I'm choosing two people that I'm remotely attracted to because I talk to these people for literally the whole mixer where you're like supposed to mingle and meet – everyone's there for me. You, hi. It's like a minute and a half.
Yeah.
So you're like – yes. I mean my thing was the opposite of yours. When I went on my date – they played like birds chirping because it was so boring. To your point, my date was very boring too.
Yeah.
And so after dinner, I think we went to the Plaza for dinner.
Ooh.
And then we went out
Bravo
afterwards.
Played paid for
– Honey, no.
For the Plaza?
They paid for nothing.
Oh.
They say you have to pay for the date. So, you know, millionaire matchmaker, I'm like, listen, it's not like I'm cheap, but I'm not taking this person that I don't even want to go out with – like flying a helicopter to the Hamptons for like $2,000 or whatever it was, right? I'm like, my date's going to be – we went furniture shopping because I was looking for furniture, which that's a whole thing.
That's so dumb.
But it was like a nice furniture. They thought – they're like, oh, that's good. And then, yeah, the date said, well,
I wonder it was boring,
he said,
David. That's a horrible idea.
Well, he said,
idea
I think it's very
date.
Obnoxious that he's taking me furniture shopping. Like the chandelier was like $10,000. Like I can't afford that. Anyway,
why you wanted him to pay for it?
No,
oh.
I was the one who was the millionaire. But I thought furniture shopping, and then a dinner afterwards, which we did, and then we had dessert in Central Park, and that was when the birds were chirping because it was so. Like at this point, I'm like, this is the last scene I have to film. Like I don't even want to try. I'm so fucking bored. So that's literally, you know, like on like Snow White, where they have like little birds. They had like birds chirping of like. This cookie is good. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Ugh.
Yeah. No, it was bad.
It's the worst.
At the dinner, they also staged a like, because I'm so picky, remember?
Mm.
I ordered a Grey Goose. This became my thing, like that around the world when the episode, I ordered a Grey Goose. I'm like, Grey Goose pear in a martini glass, chilled with a lime twist. That means Grey Goose pear, the actual vodka in a martini glass, nothing else.
Mm.
It's a very simple drink. They purposely brought me Grey Goose pear with like muddled pear or like a grapefruit juice. So I like sipped it and I'm like, this isn't just vodka. There's something else in it. So I'm like, I don't care if the steak is supposed to be rare and it's not rare. This don't fuck with my martini, girl. This drink was not the actual drink. It wasn't just vodka. So I sent it back. And of course that was staged. And then the date was like, he sent the drink back and it's the wrong fucking drink. And all that was my thing about how picky I was that I sent a drink back. Well, give me the right drink, Carl, and I won't send it back. When I want just vodka, I don't want grape juice in my vodka.
It seems like just yesterday when I captured my son's first steps or when we recorded his soccer games on VHS tapes. Those moments are gone. But the old home movies and pictures don't need to be. That's why my son created Legacy Box.
That's right, Mom. Over a million families have used Legacy Box to digitally preserve their old home movies and photos.
Simply fill Legacy Box with your old camcorder tapes, film, and photos. They will professionally digitize and send them back on DVDs, thumb drive, or the cloud.
With Mother's Day around the corner, it's the perfect time to get your Legacy Box and save your family's history. After all, few things are as important as protecting your precious memories. Give your mom a Mother's Day present she'll never forget. Take advantage of our Mother's Day sale, which starts now. It's our best deal of the year. save up to 60% off. Visit legacybox.com/keepsake, and for a limited time, get an incredible 60% off your order. That's legacybox.com/keepsake for 60% off. legacybox.com/keepsake.
Running shoes online can feel like a guessing game, but Marathon Sports makes it easy to get the right gear without stepping into a store. At marathonsports.com, you'll find the same trusted brands runners and walkers rely on, including Brooks, Hoka, New Balance, Asics, Saucony, and more. Whether you're training for a race, walking for fitness, or just need everyday comfort, Marathon Sports has the shoes, apparel, and accessories to keep you moving. Their online shop is built for athletes and everyday movers. Easy browsing, detailed product guidance, and fast shipping help you find exactly what you need without the hassle. Because the right gear doesn't just improve your run, it improves how you feel every day. Shop now at marathonsports.com and get moving.
Okay, you sound obnoxious. Okay, so how did they edit it? Did it all seem good at the end when they edited it and you watch it on TV?
Shockingly, Patty didn't tell me off. I got an okay edit, but I got a picky edit. But at the end, she was like, you just need to learn to be less picky. I mean, here I am, what is it, 14 years later, and I'm still single. So something must be wrong.
Right. So they got that right. But in general, when you're talking about reality TV and how it's filmed and then the end result, don't you agree that there's a lot of staged things and then how the outcome is not necessarily what reality is?
Totally.
Yeah. And that's totally, what you cover on your show.
Because this drink, this is how it works. Like, I literally, it didn't cross my mind. It didn't think about it. I just sent the drink back because it was wrong. It was like not even on my radar. Mm-hmm. And then when the show came out, this drink being sent back was a whole thing. So, yeah, like you don't even real these producers of reality TV are so good at what they do. You don't even realize it. I mean, now because I host this podcast and I can watch reality TV and say, oh, God, that's so fake. And so now if like this drink was being sent back, but at that time I was innocent, I didn't realize. But yes, it's totally look, it's like I think your reaction to things are real. Mm-hmm. But it's they set up scenarios, right?
Right.
And especially if you look at like Housewives, like when you're doing your confessionals, I mean, you do those after the fact. So you're now asked to talk about something like 8 months later after it was filmed or 4 months. So like your emotions aren't there, but the producers will bring out your emotions.
Mm-hmm.
They'll even say like, well, aren't you mad at her for doing that? And you'll sit there as a housewife, not that I am a housewife, but this is how it works. And you'll be like, I mean, you have to be an idiot to not realize like, well, I'm not mad, but I should be mad because you're asking this question and I want to keep my job.
Right.
So that's the stuff that's not real.
Right. But I think that's a good point that the reactions tend to be true or, you know, you can't ever represent yourself as fake because that's who you are, right? But the way they edit things can make you look different.
Yes.
Yeah. And the storylines, though, cannot be real. So sometimes your storyline or you as a person come on and you've got nothing to offer. And so you need to come up with something to offer to either keep your job or to seem more interesting, right?
Yeah. And I mean, look, I don't really edit my podcast, but they'll even take something where you say, like, I'm really mad about this or whatever your sentence is, and they will put it in, not to me, but they do this to Housewives and Bravo. They'll put it in a different sentence. They'll put it in a like, I'm mad at you and I'm having an issue with you, but that's not the storyline because you and I are friends. They'll put it towards something else. Like, I have no situations that have happened to people like that.
So to start a fight, you mean?
Yeah. So right. That's where it's like, is it really real?
Right. Right, right.
You know, like I think if I ever got on a reality show now and I was a cast member, I just know how it's made. Like I would be able to tell and I would sign up. I would be game for it because it could lead to a lot of money. But
so you would go on a reality show?
Yes, because
wouldn't you? Which one? Yeah, of course. Because people that say that they wouldn't, I think they're not telling the truth. I mean, the opportunities that come with it are so much. I mean, you get so much out of it.
You get so much out of it. I said this in my next life. Now, I'm not stopping the Behind the Velvet Rope podcast, which is 7 days a week, which is a celebrity interview podcast. And it's very successful, as you said. But if I were to like go away and come back in another life, I truly would start a reality TV business and say, this is how you get, let's talk about how you get onto the show. Then when you got there, I would give you guidance for your first year, your fifth year, and your 10th year, because people do so many things wrong. If I got on a show, I would definitely do it. I agree with you, there are opportunities, but I would never do it the wrong. Like these, some of these housewives, and I know this for a fact, they have Finsta accounts. They spend all day targeting each other. Like you don't, that's not in your contract. You don't get more money for, they really take it to bed. So if I was on a show and you were my enemy on the show and you said awful things about me, I wouldn't care at all. Mm. I would be like, say, girl, have your day.
Right.
Because my job is to like, Bravo pays you or whatever network to be on the show. So all this social media slant, you could say anything you want. So I would do it because I think I know how to do it.
Right.
And so anything you want to say about me, all this stuff off, I wouldn't
care.
It's
part of the show, right. You think it's part of the circus.
It's part of the circus. And I would be like, from day one, I'd be like, girl, what is your side hustle? Figure it out. Are you going to write a book? And most of this stuff doesn't even pay you money.
Right.
Are you going to have a Pinot Grigio? Like, what is it? I mean, look, we have Bethany Frankel's the most successful of anyone. But like Countess Luann, her pod, like her cabaret tour, that's a real, it makes a lot of money. She sells out. So it's like.
But they should come up with a side hustle because the show isn't going to last forever. And when it does end, like the Housewives of New York, you have to have established a side hustle already to continue that income. Because if you don't have that income, what are you going to do? Because those shows eventually will end.
They eventually will end. That's the thing. Like I would tell you from the first, it's always shocking to me like when it's your turn to get fired. Mm. Not even New York because the whole thing went away. But like each housewife is so shocked when they're fired.
Right.
It's like, but everyone's fired. Like right. everyone.
Well, because they think they're just not replaceable. Right. Well, they all think that they're so special.
In the first episode of our course that you're going to sign up for, it's like going to be $2,500 to join my course, but this is a course that will change your life. I would say my advice to you if you get on reality TV is every day, I would do it every day, you need to go and take your shower and get ready and you need to look in the mirror before you go out and say, I'm nothing special.
Mm.
I would say that to yourself. Sorry.
Right.
That's my advice. Like you're so replaceable.
Right.
And if you don't want to feed into all the hate that you get on social media, you can't feed into all – everyone that wants a picture with you, stop. Take the picture. Mm-hmm. But that can't feed your soul. And I really – I interview people in their first year on the show, and then it's not even years. They come back their second season. It's like a different person. I swear to you. I'm like, don't change, girl. Oh, I'm not going to change. The second season they come back on my podcast, it's like the person – it's like a whole different person.
Change in what way?
That they think their shit don't stink.
Mm. So it's affected them.
And not.
They're no longer taking pictures with people. They're no longer humble. They've really become someone different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All because, I mean, I get it. I love you. 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 I mean, they don't love you. They love you on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And it is you. You're not an actress, but it's a produced version of yourself. And they don't know you. And let me tell you, when the producers do you dirty, they're eventually going to do you dirty.
Right.
Like, look, do I think Lisa Rinna was the – she caused her own demise, but not really. I think producers pat you on the back and they're like, you're having a great season. Like they give you the rope to hang. When it's your time, Dorinda in New York City for Housewives, when it's your time to go – I feel like they know it.
Mm.
Like it's what's happening with Melissa Gorga now in New Jersey. Like they know it, but I think they encourage you to go to the end of that cliff and dive off.
Oh, why? You think it's her the end for her?
Yeah.
Why do you say that?
I mean, 100%. Well, I mean, I think as an audience.
You think she's committing suicide right now?
Well,
basically?
I think she knows it. I think like. It's like people are over Teresa versus Melissa now, for real.
And they're picking Teresa?
I mean, Teresa is the number one most protected housewife out of any franchise.
Is that because she just got remarried, you think? And
well,
she has a new storyline?
No. It's just – I mean, this show, let's not forget, stopped when this woman went to jail. I mean – she is the New Jersey show. It's like the most power any housewife has. Kyle Richards from Beverly Hills is a very close second. She'll never get fired.
Okay.
And she shouldn't. Like, she doesn't do anything so egregious, or she's doing the job, but Kyle will never be fired. So with people who hate Teresa, I'm like, I'm not saying I'm such a Teresa fan. It's just a fact. She's never going to be fired. So just, right. Yeah, Melissa's going. Really.
Interesting. Okay.
Mark my words.
We heard it here
first.
You
heard it here first.
And do you believe the gossip that Kyle and Mauricio are separating or divorcing?
I mean, this thing about Mauricio has been around forever.
Oh,
apparently he plays around. That's what's out there.
Mm.
I don't really feel that.
Mm.
I mean, I don't know Mauricio.
My friend was just in Aspen this weekend and said that PK and Mauricio were there skiing together, no wives. Boys trip.
And interesting. Did he see Mauricio walking out of the bar with anyone at night?
I can't say, but she just thought it was interesting that no women were there.
I mean, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. I feel like I don't put anything past anyone.
Of course. Yeah. Well, why?
But I don't see it. Like, I don't see that as much as people say it. But that's the thing that people say all the time, that Mauricio plays around. I don't see it.
Well, and let's talk about Scandoval for a second, you know, as we have to for 2 seconds here. But, you know, why would we put anything past anyone when on a show like this, you know, people are cheating, but everyone is getting so up in arms about such a cheating scandal that it's on the cover of the New York Times. It's become mainstream fodder, not just entertainment conversation pieces. Why do you think that is?
I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, maybe, I don't know. It's like this show was so good for like 7 seasons, and then seasons 8 and 9 were horrible.
Okay.
So
what season are we on now?
10.
Okay, 10.
So I don't know. Like, is it that, like, you all counted out Vanderpump Rules, and at the end of the day, this is the most explosive show? Because, I mean, we've had so many cheating situations in this show.
Right.
You know, I don't understand why. It was a girl, and she cheated on, you know, she's really good friends. I guess she hasn't been on the show for that long, but she was friends with Ariana. So it's kind of maniacal that, like, you're saying, like, you're my best friend and let's have a pajama party, and then you're going and sleeping with her boyfriend. I guess that. But I don't know why it's so shocking to me.
But hasn't this show been riddled with people cheating on each other?
Yeah.
And everyone that's so up in arms on this show has been a cheater at some point, or a mistress at some point,
more
correct?
Or less, yeah.
I mean, I definitely am not someone who can throw shade at anyone about this. I'm just asking because I'm not really understand all the hatred that, like, Raquel is getting versus Tom. I mean, I don't hear all that hatred towards Tom as much as I'm hearing it towards Raquel. And quite frankly, I see that they're all in a much better position now than they were before. Their show is doing much better. It's probably the number one rated show on Bravo, I would think. And Ariana, what's her name?
Ariana
is now and going to be an actress on Lifetime TV in a movie. And and what's your prediction for her going forward?
My prediction, I told you this, my prediction, we just said this when you were on my podcast. Look, it wouldn't shock me if she was given an offer to be the Bachelorette.
Yeah.
It's so
amazing.
Like, think about it. And at least Dancing with the Stars. Now, that's not like Celebrity Big Brother. That's not the hardest gig to get. Like The Masked Singer. Like there's some B-list type. But Dancing with the Stars is a really hard gig to get. We've had housewives that are major housewives, like Teresa, Kenya Moore, Erica Jane.
But no,
like,
one from Vanderpump Rules.
No. And Lisa Vanderpump. But there's no one else from Vanderpump Rules that would ever be able to get that Dancing with the Stars contract. Never. I'm going to say that.
Right.
It wouldn't shock me if Ariana got that now.
Right.
Honestly.
Or the Bachelorette makes so much sense. Right? Yes. This damsel in distress who needs a knight in shining armor to fawn after her. I mean, it totally makes sense.
And they talk to you before you go on. You say, Patty, you know, this and that. The producers, they know. No, the Bachelorette, like, they start with, like, you know, you don't see the people, but they start with, like, to tell us what you are looking for.
Right.
I'm sure she's going to say, I mean, for me, it's like, you should want, like, a school teacher that teaches, like, special ed kids, like special needs kids. Like, you should want, like, a nice, humble person. That's my advice for Ariana. Mm. Like, forget this Hollywood bullshit of someone with, like, a porn stash that, like, plays in
what
a band.
Is that, by the way?
I have no idea.
He didn't look like he had that 10 years ago or 9 years ago.
I have no idea.
Why did he turn out like that? I don't watch the show, but I did see some clips from before when they met originally and they started dating. He looked like a nice looking guy, and now he turned into somewhat of a, I mean, I thought he was almost bisexual or something. He looks like a different type of, like, LA vibe.
That's
guy.
The last thing. I mean, she
and
lives in
not
LA.
That there's anything wrong with it, but he just, you know, he looks very artsy or a musician or I don't know, just totally different.
I
that
want her.
Mustache has to go.
It has to go. She, I'm telling you, I think she should date, like, a school teacher, an accountant, like a nice, humble profession of someone that's,
yes,
like, you know, an accountant that goes to the office and has, that is my
someone
advice.
Someone reliable.
Right. But so, like, they'll ask her on The Bachelorette. They'll say, what's your type and what are you looking for? And they get cute guys. So they'll get 25 cute guys. And America, this is your victim. And, you know, this, I think it would be really a good thing. It would rate really well. And
yeah,
she looks the part and she's the right age. I'm predicting she becomes the Bachelor.
Not only would it be great ratings for Bravo in general, but because it would pull them over, you know, the ratings from the Bachelorette. Yeah, it would just be so huge. Everybody would continue that conversation for ages. So I think it would be a great idea.
And I think she could carry the show. Like, if she didn't look the part, or it's perfect for ABC.
Yeah.
It's
a
huge platform.
True. So what do you think are the other scandals going on right now that we may not have seen in reality TV because we've been so shocked and in shock and awe about Scandoball? Is there anything else going on in reality TV right now?
I mean, look, the Chrisleys are in jail. Jen Shaw's in jail. Mm-hmm. We just had a round of scandals. what else is there? You know, Kim Zolciak and her ever-ending, she can't pay her mortgage, she's going to lose the house. I mean, that's kind of over. Look, I mean, a lot of people say things about Louis, Teresa's guy, that he's, you know, strange and has bad business dealings going on. The Gorgas are being convinced of bad business dealings. I say all the time about Dorit and PK, I don't understand their finances.
Mm.
I just don't understand where the money comes from. I know that he manages Boy George and Culture Club. And have I seen Culture Club?
Yeah,
many
how
times?
Much work could Boy George have? Do you see him in concert a lot?
I've seen them in concert, and guess what? PK is there. PK is, he's on. So he really does manage Boy George. But yeah.
Are they doing a tour across country?
They're always doing, like, a little something, but I mean, it's not. I mean,
are they playing in Madison Square Garden, or are they like the Beacon?
The Beacon.
Okay.
And I mean, that's the thing. If you manage Beyonce, Taylor Swift, if you're, like, in the camp with Lady Gaga, I understand where maybe your money comes from. I mean, still, the star is getting all the money, but I don't understand from Culture Club. I mean, no offense. But
how much are those tickets, do you think?
I mean, I've gone probably, like, if you want, like, not more than, like, 100.
Right.
You know, $75. I don't understand. Dorit comes down to breakfast in Balmain and then has lunch in, like, head to toe Gucci, and then is, like, in Dior for dinner, and then the next morning is in. I mean, these outfits alone, I don't understand it.
And that's not who she was when he married her, by the way. I mean, you've seen the pictures. You know who she was when they got married, right?
I went to high school with Dorit.
Oh, well, tell us.
Rachel's like, well, where's that one to? Yeah, I mean.
Well, fill us in. Did she have an accent?
We were different years. She did not have an accent.
Is that her real name? Is it Dorit?
Yeah. Her parents are from Israel. I think they were, I mean, they were either like first generation here, but they're Israeli. So it's really Dorit. There was no accent, different hair, different nose.
Wait.
You're like, oh my.
Was she a blonde?
No.
Wow.
Dark, curly hair.
And what was the accent?
Like, this was high school in Connecticut. I mean.
Wow.
Right. So, like, we're not, you know, New York has an accent. Even L.A. sometimes you could have that valley accent. I mean, I don't know. There's no accent in Connecticut the last time I checked. Maybe I have a Connecticut accent. And I don't – people tell me I have a New York or L.A. accent. But, like, I haven't been in Connecticut in forever. But there was no accent in Connecticut. It's, like – one of the accentless states. There was no accent.
So, and was she nice?
We were different years. We shared sisters. Like, my really good friend and her, like, my best friend and her best friend were sisters. So we are, there was, like, we are, we have that connection. There was, like, a boat trip. All I remember is there was, like, my friend's 30th birthday, I think. It was one of those birthdays. And she, we went out on her father's boat. And then the sister brought her best friend, who was Dorit. And I just remember she was like Titanic at the helm being like, I'm going to be famous one day.
Oh, boy.
And all the parents were like, get, you know, you're going to fall in the water. Like, and she was like, I'm going to be famous. And she was at the helm of the boat like that.
Wow.
Yeah. So girlfriend had a plan. And I think, you know, to marry someone with lots of money or – but so I don't understand Dorit and Piqué. Like, I went on a – Piqué blocked me.
Okay.
I mean, I'm blocked by a lot of people.
I'm sure you are. Well, I can stick up for her in the way that I used to date Piqué, as you know. And
you did.
I did. And he is very charming. But I do know that when he starts to date you, that he didn't really try to change me at all, but I do know that he has the capability to be somebody who can. He can spend a lot of money on your appearance, on your clothes, and really change you. And I know that he, you know, at some point wanted to change his life when he moved to America and be something different and get into the spotlight more. So he picked someone who he could obviously change and mold, and someone who was going to go on along on that ride with him. So she was, you know, good enough to do that with.
In other words, these two little fame whores found each other? Is that what you're saying?
You said it, not me.
I mean, you know, so it's perfect. Yeah. I mean, look, I mean, if I was married to someone and you were spending like all this on clothes, I mean, I guess he must like it if it's all about the image. But I just don't get it. I mean, Louis Vuitton doesn't give, you know, maybe they give stuff to their spokesperson. You know, Jaden Smith is now represented by Louis Vuitton. He's like the one of the faces of the brand. I think Jaden Smith might get some stuff for free. I mean, yeah. Jaden Smith is major. Louis Vuitton, Balenciaga, they're not giving free stuff to Dorit.
No, and I think she's even said she pays for all of it.
She does.
Yeah.
So I just don't understand it. I literally don't. Like, okay, so sweetheart, that outfit is like $30,000. I just added it up. Now, for lunch, you have another outfit for $50,000. Like, this is real.
So
it adds up.
What do you think about the break-in she had? They never found the people that stole all that stuff. Don't you think that's incredibly shady that they didn't find the people that stole all the items? It was all her clothes, right? And
it was
bags?
The clothes. And, you know, like, look, I mean, I think it's probably real, but I understand why. You know, if it's all covered by insurance and it's, you don't want to wear the same thing more than once.
Right.
Well,
it's a great way to start all over with a new wardrobe.
Start all over. Yeah. I mean, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
I mean, the person leaves the phone. I mean, I don't know if you like you.
They I should, saw the whole
like,
thing.
The,
yeah.
The phone.
Why would they be nice enough to leave her the phone?
And she says, please leave my phone. I mean, I don't know. Like, I would want my phone. But when you're like at gunpoint, I wouldn't think about my phone.
It is a little bit odd that they had her at gunpoint and then she asks for her phone.
It's a little – that part's strange.
You would
to me.
Think that they – that you wouldn't be asking – making requests.
I would be like, you – yes. I would say yes, yes, and yes.
And I am a little surprised that more people that do follow that whole scenario didn't question a little more stuff. But anyways, we don't need to get into it. All right, let's talk a little bit more about your podcast. And I'm just curious for people starting a podcast, because I've started my own, obviously, and I know how hard it is too. But how did you figure out how to start your podcast? And for people looking to start their own, like literally the logistics, like how did you come up with starting your own podcast and get into it?
Well, I also do consulting on the side of people. You know, all this help I've given you for starting your podcast, mm-hmm. I've comped you my hourly rate, Rachel.
I know. I'm so lucky.
But I
how could people do it with you? Yeah.
I mean, I do that. I don't think you knew that. But I just figured out like one thing after another after another. When I started, I know how to record a show. I knew what I was going to do and talk about, but I didn't know anything. I didn't know you had to upload it to like a third-party site, and then that's how it gets out on Apple. So I figured that out. Then I didn't know anything else. I was like, one day I was like, I need to teach myself how to edit this, because I would send it out to be edited, and I was like, it's either taking too long or – so it's like step by step I just started taking things back in-house. Mm-hmm. How do people go about it? I mean, look, I tell people, like, if you want to have a podcast, you should always remember, like, you know, well, I always say to someone, like, what's the goal? Like, if your goal is to have your hour with your mom on a Friday night and you guys have your wine and you're having a good time and you're doing that, then why are you hiring me? Then what's the problem? You're doing it. Mm-hmm. If your goal is to, like, make money, it's a whole different situation.
Right.
Because it's not about you. It's about what the audience wants. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people that have a podcast get too self-indulgent. And it's not – I mean, now I'm more self-indulgent on my show than I was in the beginning, because it's 4 years later and people are tuning in for me. So it's actually – they want me to be self-indulgent and talk a little bit about myself. But at first, it's really like, what does the audience want? It's all about the numbers.
Right.
Like, I can tell you – and mostly what guest is like the big guest. Like I can say, this is a great guest. No one's going to listen to this, but okay, I owe this publicist a favor. The person's on brand. Or I could say, I love this TV show. So I'm interviewing this person. I don't care if anyone listens, but I could pretty much predict if a show is going to be like a huge show, a medium show, or a small show.
Who were your favorite guests that you've had on in the past?
I feel like it's always changing, but like there were certain big moments where it was like, I can't, like for me, it was like a couple of people like Susan Lucci. I mean, there's no soap actress that's more famous in daytime TV than Susan Lucci, mm-hmm. period. So it was just one of these of like, she wasn't promoting anything. It was like a friend of a friend. And I was like, she didn't want to be on video because she had to do hair and makeup. But I'm like, okay. They're like, she's going to decide the day of. And I'm like, please let her be on video. She was on video. Oh. I mean, Susan Lucci, that's like a big deal.
Yeah.
So now it's like, okay, I've had her and other people like her. So it's like, it's always changing. Mm-hmm.
Did she talk about anything good?
It just like, she was just Susan Lucci. She was amazing. Oh. She was like amazing. So like her, I mean, then there were just other ones like Jenny Garth. Like I'm a huge 90210 fan. Mm. Like for me, that was big. Mm-hmm. And then like I'm trying to think like Nancy Grace.
Oh, I love her. She's my favorite.
Which is like that's a big deal. Like yeah. Nancy Grace is like a big name. So it's just like certain things where it's like, you know, I've had all the housewives, but certain things where you're just like, this is a big deal. Like, this person doesn't need to do my podcast. I had Snooki. Like, Snooki's not an easy person to book.
Right. Now, you had Anne Heche, her very last interview that was ever done before she died. Tell me about that.
Loved her. Loved her.
And a very misunderstood woman at that.
Completely misunderstood. She said yes because she had a podcast to promote. So, like, you know, like – it's – and you learn, like, that's how the interview has to work. We have to plug what you want to plug. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm sorry. We have to talk – I can't not mention the word Ellen DeGeneres. Like, right. I'm sorry. Like, just, you know, certain people are tied to other people for the rest of their lives, Rachel, as you know, whether you want to be or not.
Right.
It wasn't the whole interview. So we talked about Ellen. You know what it is? The interview went viral, but it would have gone viral for different reasons if she didn't die. Like, right. She said stuff about Ellen. Like, I said to her, the question I thought would be viral, because this is where being a lawyer helps me do my job, because I know how to back you into a corner. And whatever you answer to this question, it's going to be a headline. Like, my big question for her was like, you know, you were one of the first people that was canceled. You were canceled before cancel culture. I mean, she was canceled.
Right, because of her situation with Ellen.
Yeah. And people wouldn't work with her in Hollywood.
Because they thought she was crazy or on drugs or something.
Yeah. And like, I guess.
And also because of her sexuality. It was
right.
So misunderstood.
Like, she was canceled. So my question was like, now Ellen technically is canceled. I mean, she's not. Ellen has a gazillion dollars.
Yeah.
And, you know, the queen of mean and her show went away. So I'm like, you know, do you take, like, is there some satisfaction that, like, this woman got you canceled or the situation and now she's canceled? And she was like, no. Like, that's not, like, I wish her the best and, you know, I'm not that person. So, I mean, that would have been a headline that – it could be a positive headline.
Yeah.
But – because she passed away, what went viral around the entire world is I asked her, I mean, I just didn't know if I had the foreshadowing of anything happen, but I said, like, if they were going to make a movie on your life, who would you want to play you? Which is – and she was like, you need to finish the sentence. And if she said, like, some actress that nobody knows about, it wouldn't have been a thing. But she's like, I can tell you exactly right now, Miley Cyrus, and here's why. As soon as she said Miley Cyrus, I'm like, this is fucking huge. It's just a huge thing. And she had reasons. And so I could see it. I could see Miley Cyrus playing her.
Right.
So because she passed away, that was a headline.
Oh,
like, if she said some actress from TV, it still would – but Miley Cyrus is the biggest thing in the world.
Yeah.
And so that went viral because she gave reasons.
Oh.
Yeah. And I was like – and she's like, at second, Kristen Bell, I think she wanted. But it was really Miley. And then, like, they reached out to Miley. This is when you hit the pager, when, like, the person responds. So then Miley – and it's like
– Miley responded.
Yeah, like not
to
me,
no,
but they
but to
asked
the
her. Yes. And so then that became a headline.
And what did Miley say?
Just like, she's honored and this.
Oh,
and,
wow.
Yeah. So it became a whole thing for like weeks. And it still like comes up. Like, and just, I mean, a lot of my interviews do, but like that's when it's like good press. When you're like, it's like 6 months later and you're minding your own business and you're, yeah, of course I have myself on Google Alerts, honey. And like your Google Alerts are going off and you're like, well, what happened? It was like when something happens, like her son, this and that, like when something happens with her now, I'm in the Google Alerts.
Right.
It says in earlier, you know, last year or this year, she said this one she would play her. It's like a thing.
What a sad story.
I absolutely loved her. And I don't – first of all, not all my interviews are good. I have plenty of interviews where I'll interview someone and I'll be like, ugh, that just wasn't good. The show still goes out. You've wasted an hour of my time. But it just – certain people – it's rare, but certain people you just –
don't click with.
You don't. They're not getting you. They're not getting you. It's rare. But then other days you're like – man, I wasn't in the mood. Like, I was off today. So sometimes it's you.
Was there a guest that when you met them, you were like, this person is not who I thought they were, and you just didn't like them?
That you can name? I'm trying to think. There are definitely people where you just think, and I wish I could think of an example, where you think like, wow, I'm so excited. This person's so
– and it was a disappointment.
Friendly and fun and yes. And then there are other people where you're like – I don't get scared, but you're like, oh my god, like I got to tread lightly. Like this person's going to be a bitch or like difficult. And they just come on and they're like, wait a second, I can't find the, with the picture. And hi, darling. And you're just like right from the beginning before you even start, you're like, oh, this is going to be good.
Right.
So it's like – yeah, I've had them both ways where you're like on edge, like a Nancy Grace. She was great, but like someone like that where you're like, I'm a little intimidated. Like it's Nancy
Grace. On air, she is so intimidating. I mean, she is all about aggression on her show.
And she'll call me out if I say something.
Yeah.
And she called me out at times, but in like a, I said, one of my questions, which in retrospect, I understood, like I was like, this is almost an offensive question, David. Like, but it wasn't. It's just like, I asked her, like, you know, I said like, you know, I'm from New York and like, you know, we're outspoken, like New Yorkers, but you know, where does like a nice woman from the South, like how did this personality develop? Like you're, and she's like, now, you know, like we're getting along and you know, if I didn't have a great 20 minutes with you, you know, and this and that, I would almost think this was an insulting question. She said something like that, very nice. And I was like, you know what? This is actually an insulting, stereotypical question. You're right. It's not appropriate. So I called myself out.
That's
but someone like that. But it was just other types of people where, yeah, I wish I could find and think of an example where I was like so excited for someone. I was like, this is going to be great. And they were just like a little off.
Right.
They weren't feeling my shit.
My last question for you would be, in all the times you've done these interviews and working with reality TV, who do you think is the most misunderstood person in reality TV that just keeps getting a bad rap in the shows that they're on or, you know, in how they're represented or representing themselves, that when you've interviewed them or when you know them or maybe from not even knowing them, but just your feeling on who's the most misunderstood person in reality TV right now?
I think like two people stand to the top of my mind. I interviewed Jax Taylor from Vanderpump Rules. Hmm. You know, like he was a cheater in the past. Now he's married. Like he, to me, was off, and I have three examples. He to me was so he understands the game. Mm. He was so smart and understands how it works. All like, I mean, he's not on Vanderpump anymore, but he got like how the business worked. I love that. Like, I love like breaking the fourth wall when I interview. Let's not pretend the show's real. Let's just talk about. So like, he just got it and understood like how to come back. I mean, what she's trying to do. And then
now
like,
he's having his own podcast that he's launching this week.
I think it's going to be great.
Yeah.
I think so. He was phenomenal. And I was like, I thought, you know, he'd be okay, but he just really understood this one's doing this. And wow. And same thing with Brandi Glanville, who has all this drama now. And, you know, she, you know, like this thing might have happened with Carolyn Manzo. She just wasn't like, I thought she'd be a ditz. And just she really got it and was really real and authentic and smart. Yeah, I was like, it's almost like with Brandi especially, I was like, she's in on the act. Like, look, if you know why you're being asked back to certain shows, like you do become a caricature of yourself, right? So you know what the world, like what people expect her to be, the drunk in the room and outspoken. So she kind of, it was like a different person almost.
So she's in on the joke, so to speak.
That's what I thought. And I thought she was so smart. And then I've never interviewed him, but I would love to. I think Spencer Pratt is really – because he
I get that feeling too, yeah.
And he is like – he has ideas and he's a producer and he – I mean, none of this is necessarily taking off, but he understands the business.
Yeah. And he's really transparent and says what's going on.
He came
out. And he's been in there – he's been in the business for a long time.
He's been in the business for like, he would be a great producer of a show. He doesn't even have to be on it. But he came out too and tweeted and said, Raquel, talk about scandal. He's like, girl, whatever you do, don't fucking quit the show.
Yeah.
Like he gets it. And rumors, because I mean, I interviewed people from The Hill's New Beginnings, which came back. Spencer was the one who was like, this isn't working. I mean, I love The Hill's New Beginnings when it just came back, like whatever.
Yeah.
But it wasn't highly rated. And Spencer was really just trying to get everyone just like – it didn't work because they were older and they didn't want to stick their hand in the fire anymore.
Right.
And he's like, we have to. Like this is
– yes.
Like this is a gift. We could be on TV for the next 10 years, guys.
Absolutely.
Just do what you got to do. There's money to be made here. And he behind the scenes was trying to make all of that happen, not in a fake way but just in a like –
yeah, you guys have to be on board. Yeah, exactly.
So he really understands how it works.
Right. And just really quickly, what are your thoughts and predictions for Housewives of New York? The new season.
I mean, I am cautiously optimistic, but I'm not jumping up and down. I think like, I mean, is anyone really waiting for that? Is anyone really excited? I think they have to make New York a housewife. Like you have to show, like we're in this great city here. It has to be New York. Like you have to show benefits and what New York is all about. I think if it's just a bunch of new women having the same drama that's been on all these other franchises forever, I don't think it's going to work. I think people are just going to be like, I'm bored.
Right.
So I think it's like New York, like you can't do that in Salt Lake or maybe Orange County, no offense, but we have New York City here. So like if you think of like Sex and the City and Gossip Girl and like New York was a huge element in these scripted shows, I think you need to really focus on New York and make that part of the show.
Great. All right. Well, good feedback. All right. Well, can't wait to see what happens there. Thank you so much. I can't wait to have you back. And I appreciate everything you said.
And remember, you were on the Behind the Velvet Rope podcast. So everyone can listen on Apple and Spotify or follow Behind Velvet Rope on Instagram. And we had the great Rachel Yucatel on our show recently. So everyone could listen to that episode too.
That's right. Thank you so much. And we will see you soon.
Thank you.
You train, you track, you eat right. But if you're over 40, you've felt it. The results don't match the effort anymore. That's not willpower, it's biology. Hormones drop, metabolism slows, your body stops responding the way it used to. Maximus is the online clinic that reverses your decline with prescription performance medicines, GLP-1s, testosterone, and peptides that reduce belly fat, restore energy, and boost recovery. Over 50,000 high performers have already broken through their plateaus. If you're ready to turn your hard work into measurable results, go to MaximusTribe.com. That's MaximusTribe.com.